Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. 1 Peter 1:8. Jesus Christ, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, ye believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8. Jesus Christ, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet you believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Luke 4:19. Luke 4:19. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to advance spiritually, to grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have some interesting verses for us today. I trust that you have your Bible in hand, that you will take advantage of this time to turn through the various pages of the wonderful Word of God. Also, you have in your bulletin today two major inserts. And I'm going to ask you, please, to take those two inserts out so that you can have them in hand. And while the message is being proclaimed today, you'll be able to refer to those two inserts, the diagrams that are given to us there. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. Father, these are important moments for us because we're here to focus our minds and hearts on the eternal Word of God. We're thankful indeed that we have this magnificent book, God's Word, the completed canon of Scripture, and that we have now opportunity to turn our attention away from the various distractions of this world and focus our minds upon the beauty of the wonderful, magnificent Word of God. We're thankful for it. We're thankful that you've allowed us the privilege of having access to these magnificent and beautiful words. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and His willingness to come to this earth as the God-man and go to the cross to bear our sins. We're the recipients of salvation, eternal life, through this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. In these moments now, as we focus our attention upon the pages of your Word, and as we allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to speak to our hearts, that we'll be able today to have an insight and the ability to see things we've actually never seen before. Thank you for your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the diagrams that you have is this one that I'm holding in my hand today. It is a picture of the timeline. We've seen this many, many times over the last years. We see the age of the Gentiles. We see the age of Israel. We see a time inserted down into the timeline, which is known as the age of grace. This information is not new to you. However, it needs to be exhorted, proclaimed, presented time and time and time again. Because the longer we study this particular diagram, we're able to see the difference on the one hand of the Jews, what happened to them, and we see the age in which you and I now live, which is the age of grace. From Pentecost all the way over to the time of the resurrection of the body of Christ, which we know as the rapture, is the period of time known as the age of grace. So we see on the screen again the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the inserted time, the age of grace. Then we see the rapture. We see the tribulation, 7 years. And then we see the second advent and the 1,000-year reign, the millennium. It's important for me to tell you that on the back of this page, we have a description of the dispensations divided. The age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the age of the church, the age of Christian millennium. Many of you have been wondering about the emphasis and the scriptures in relationship to the age of the Gentiles. You'll see that on the back of this magnificent insert today. Man innocent, man under conscience, man in authority over the earth. You'll take time one of these days to look up these verses. You'll be blessed if you'll do that. The age of the Gentiles. The age of Israel, man under promise, man under law. The age of the church, man under grace, and then the many verses listed there. And then the age of the millennium, man under the personal reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you're going to see now is another one of our inserts. The insert I would like for you to take, please, and hold in your hand, because you're going to be seeing some magnificent things here. While you're doing that, if you will, please, in your Bible, turn to two passages of Scripture. One of those is Isaiah chapter 61, and the other is Luke 4:19. There's a reason for me doing what I'm doing today, and that is to help you see that what is necessary is for you to put your hand in Isaiah passage and then put your thumb or the other hand over in the Luke passage. It's important to put your hand there so that you'll be able to see the reason for us going from one passage to the other. If you'll notice, we're emphasizing the day of the Lord or the year of the Lord. And you'll notice that there's a difference between what we have in our bulletin and what we are being presented here on the screen. The year of the Lord. You'll notice how I've listed it, the acceptable year of the Lord. In the bulletin, you see the acceptable day of the Lord. If you look on down in Isaiah, you will discover that there is a presentation of the word day, the day of vengeance. It probably isn't necessary for me to do this, but to clear up anything that may float around in your mind that is not proper, I want you to be able to see something. What we have here is the year of Jubilee, when land that had been mortgaged returned to its owner, and debts were forgiven, and Israelite slaves were released. This is known as the year of Jubilee. We find this in Leviticus chapter 25. If you want to write the reference down, Leviticus 25, 9 through 10. Now I'm going to take you to the Greek New Testament, and I want to give you three words. One of those words, which is used in our passage of Scripture, is N-E-N-I-A-U-T-O-N. N-E-A-U-T-O-S. N-E-A-U-T-O-S. To say it rapidly, N-E-A-U-T-O-S. Which is the word translated year. And that's what we have in our passage. I need to tell you that many years ago I learned the Greek word for day, which is hemera. H-E-M-E-R-A. I also need to present to you another word, which is the word today, which is S-E-M-E-R-A-N, semeron. It isn't necessary for you to know all of those Greek words, but I do need to tell you that the word that is used in our passage of Scripture is eniatos, E-N-I-A-U-T-O-N. Why do I give that? I give that because the primary reference here is not specifically to a day or a year, but a cycle of time. And that's the reason why I wanted to stop to eliminate any confusion. If you see on the one hand that I say the acceptable day, and then you see that I have on the screen today the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, if you will, open your Bible to the book of Luke. And I'm going to begin reading, and I'd like for you to follow. We find some very interesting words here. We discover that Luke chapter 4, verse 1 begins with these statements. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit into the wilderness. Most of us through the years have looked at this passage many, many times. And we call this the temptations of Jesus. This is not new to you. I didn't plan at first to read it, but then I decided it was important that I do read it. But right quick, glance down to verse 14, which says, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit." Two things I want you to see. In verse 1 it says, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And he returned from Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness. Many times you've had me refer to this passage. 40 days while tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became extremely hungry. And the devil said to him, "If, and it is true, if you, the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." How many times have you heard me say, when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he answered each one of these temptations with a verb in the perfect tense mood. Perfect tense mood means all of this has been happening and has happened in the past, consummated in the past, and the result of that consummation is very good at this very moment. So Jesus was saying to Satan, the way that I'm going to handle this temptation from you is by the use of the Word of God. Now you'll notice that this says Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Look again at that triangle and the line down the center. And look at the characteristics of deity on the one hand and the characteristics of humanity on the other hand. And the question to you is, on what side of that triangle is this referring to? I think you already know that answer. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Let me continue quickly. He led him up and showed him all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all of the domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. Look at verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written. Again, that same verb in the perfect tense. It's been written in the past. God's word is written. It has been consummated in the past. And the value of that consummation is very evident, very prominent, and very available to us right now. And that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus answered and said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And he led him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, and you are, cast yourself down from here. And then now Satan uses scripture. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you. You see how tricky Satan is? Now notice verse 11. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. What did Jesus do? Here comes the third time that the perfect tense verb is used. Jesus answered and said to him, you shall not force a test on the Lord your God. And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Now verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. I cannot tell you enough, but I'm trying to let you see the power manifested in the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He began teaching, verse 15, in the synagogues and was praised by all. Now verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. I don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to. I want you to see what Jesus is doing. Jesus is dealing with the Jews. And Jesus is saying that he is in the synagogue now. It's on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. Now, if you have your hand where you placed it earlier in Isaiah, you're ready for this. I have to put my hand where it's supposed to be in Isaiah. All right. Follow me carefully. Follow the scriptures carefully. He took the book, verse 17. He took the book of the prophet Isaiah. The book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He opened the book to Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, and found the place where it was written. Now go, if you will, please, to Isaiah 61. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Now we go into verse 2, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now flip back to Luke. Let's see what it says. The quote that I just gave you from Isaiah, I'm reading it again now. He opened the book and found the place where it was written in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And let me read it again for you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Does that sound like the Isaiah passage? Yes. Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Does that sound like the Isaiah passage? Yes. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Verse 20. he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed upon him. He began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." If you're following me carefully, you are seeing now that I'm emphasizing Isaiah 61, 2a, and then I noticed that Jesus closed the book of Isaiah, handed it to the attendant, and he did not read on. What is so beautifully manifested in God's Word, and you have this insert in your bulletin today, you need to see it very clearly. You'll see Old Testament believers' perspective of God's timeline. We're able to see what God did for the prophets of old. Gave them tremendous information. When you go to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, you'll find that Isaiah had the ability to look down through the periods of time, centuries of time, days and weeks and months of time, and God revealed to him some things in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. All you have to do is go back into the Old Testament and follow through. Notice, please, pay close attention to what I'm saying. I want you to see something. God revealed certain things to the prophets, and there were certain things that were not revealed to the prophets. Here's a picture then of the prophets looking across the period of time. What were they able to see? They were able to see things related to Israel. They were able to see the time when Jesus Christ would be born. He was born in the age of Israel. He died in the age of Israel. He was buried in the age of Israel. And then what do we see? These prophets looking across here, they were not capable and did not have the age of grace information, church age information. And the word that describes it is mysterion, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. Mysterion emphasizes that which was hidden. Now, isn't it interesting to see? If you look again at your picture in relationship to this, you'll see Isaiah 61, 2a, and then it says the vengeance, the day of vengeance. The day of vengeance is not that which relates to the age of grace, but that which relates to the age of Israel, which is the time of vengeance, and the time of vengeance is the tribulation. I'm trying to hit this slowly and hard so that you can see what the prophets saw and what they did not see. What do you look at when you find this passage, Isaiah 61, 2a? And in between that, had it been there, we would have read it, but it was not there, is the church age. The acceptable year of the Lord, I presented it again to you, Isaiah 61, 2a, church age, 61, 2b. Am I going rapidly or am I going slow enough for you to be able to really comprehend this? Throughout the Old Testament, we find the prophets seeing various things, but we're also seeing what they cannot see. It was not revealed to them. When I go to Luke 4:19, it says, to proclaim a year of the Lord acceptable. But when you go to the next passage, which is not in the New Testament, but found in the Old Testament, it says, and the day of vengeance, tribulation, the day of vengeance is at hand. Now do me a favor. I've done this slowly. Verse 17 of Luke 4. There was handed to him a roll. In the Greek language, the word roll there is biblion. B-I-B-L-I-O-N. There was handed to Jesus a roll of the prophet Isaiah. And having opened the roll, he found the place where it had been written in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Have I been over this? Yes. Am I going over it again? Yes. Why am I going over it again? Because if you got it the first time, you can say hallelujah now. But if you didn't get it the first time, you can get it the second time. There was handed to him a roll, biblion, of the prophet Isaiah. And having opened the roll, he found the place where it had been written in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2a. Jesus began to read. He began to read Isaiah 61, 1. And he read. Then he closed the book and sat down. What did he read? Luke 4, 18 says what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to evangelize the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that have been crushed. And then Luke 4:19, which is Isaiah 61:2a. It's important that you mark it in your Bible, that you're able to see what Jesus says and what Jesus does not say. Luke 4:19, to proclaim a year of the Lord acceptable. But he did not read the rest of it, which is a day of vengeance not used by the Lord Jesus Christ. The day of vengeance is the tribulation. The day of vengeance is the tribulation. If you're looking back now at your timeline, which you have is inserted in your bulletin today, you'll see again the age of the Gentiles. You'll see the age of Israel. And then you notice that there is an interruption. There is a pause. When Jesus came on the scene in Matthew and talked, he was speaking to the Jews. We discover that something interesting took place, and that is that there was a stop period when Jesus Christ was manifested and Pentecost came and the church age was inserted. We call this the insertion of the age of grace. We call this as an interruption into the timeline. Many people did not, cannot, and will not be willing to accept that. We understand what took place at Pentecost. We understand some things about the hypostatic union. We understand some things about what Jesus did. We take ourselves through the harmony of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we discover some interesting things when we get into the book of Acts, the activities of the Holy Spirit. And we see a cruel, rude, ungodly man, a Jew, by the name of Saul, who wanted to kill Christians. And most of us are familiar with the fact that Stephen was stoned to death And Saul of Tarsus was there, very much a part of this situation. Can you imagine what was going on in that man's mind and heart and soul when all this was taking place? And then when you get into the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, you'll see God moving mightily into the life of this man, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. What you and I are privileged to know is that we have the completed canon of Scripture. We have the New Testament. And we have the writings by the Spirit of God through the life of the Apostle Paul as he traveled to these various churches. Magnificent books indeed. What do we have here? We have an emphasis upon the fact that we do not know everything, but God knows everything. I'm going to ask you now, if you will, please, to open your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. Well, can you find that book? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, going down the line, what do you find? Deuteronomy. It's important for me to ask you to go to that passage in the Scripture, in Deuteronomy. I'm helping you now. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. What does it come after Numbers? What comes after Numbers? Deuteronomy. Just wanted to see if you were there. Go to chapter 29. Look at verse 29. What do you find? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Isn't that fantastic? If you and I don't know about it, don't punch panic buttons. Just be aware of the fact that we have someone, we are related to someone who knows all the facts. So often when we get entangled with people on the earth, we think we know all the facts about this particular situation. They've been mean to me, they've been rude to me, they've been unkind to me, and I want the world to know that I'm opposed to their attitude toward me. But the point is, we may not know all the facts, but God does. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of the law, the word of God. So I have told myself to tell you, read Deuteronomy 29:29. Now, I'm going to ask you to go to Luke chapter 18. And I'm reading it slowly to you. Luke 18:31-34. Jesus took the 12 and shared with them some secrets. I want you to see what I'm reading. It's powerful, powerful indeed. Jesus took the 12 and shared with them some secrets. But look at verse 34. They understood none of these things. Mysterion, hidden from them. The scripture says, and I'm quoting it here and reading it for you, they knew not the things being said. Now I'm asking you to go to John chapter 20. Most of us are familiar with this because we've read it many, many times. We've rejoiced in the resurrection. Peter and John ran to the empty tomb. And John outran Peter. That tells me that Peter was kind of an older fellow like myself. John outran Peter. But notice what else we find in John 20 verses 1 and following. But Peter entered into the tomb first. Now, he was nosy, wasn't he? He was inquisitive, wasn't he? He was enthusiastic, wasn't he? He was aggressive, wasn't he? I'm trying to let you see something. Please don't miss this. John outran Peter, but Peter entered into the tomb first. Up until that time, they knew not the scripture, that Jesus would rise from the dead. Up until that time, they did not know that Jesus would rise from the dead. Now, eyes opened. Not preaching death, burial, and resurrection until after the resurrection. It's important for me to let you see what I've just said. They did not know that the scripture spoke to understand it, that Jesus would rise from the dead. But now, the empty tomb, eyes opened. Resurrection now. But let me go to Romans 16:25 for you. Now to the one being able to establish you in accordance, the Apostle Paul says, by my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mysterion hidden long ages past. Colossians 1:27. To whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Who are we? Gentiles. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Would you let me take a few minutes now to let you see how fantastic this is. In this passage of scripture, which you see on the screen, it says, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Colossian believers, to whom God wished to make known what is the riches. The word plutos is the word from which we get our English word plutocrat. Beautiful word. Riches of the glory. I wanted to emphasize the doctrine of glory, but I don't have time right now. Of this mysterion. Did you see that diagram that you're holding in hand with that word, mysterion? Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was hidden. It is not now hidden because we live in the age of grace, not in the age of Israel. Colossians 1:27 says, mysterion. The Greek word mysterion means secret teaching. And comes from the Attic Greek word, mustes, M-U-S-T-E-S, referring to a person being initiated into a Greek fraternity. All of that's presented to us in Matthew 13 and Mark 4. The word in the New Testament, mysterion, always refers to church age information. That's the reason why when you go over to Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesian believers, emphasizes the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hope you're getting these down. Number three, on the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you have information about the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ, but all this occurred in the age of Israel. It was a mystery. The tribulation is also well described in the Old Testament and not a mystery because it too belongs to the age of Israel. Which I wish I had about 15 minutes there to just stop and explain what I just read to you. The Second Advent and the Millennium are also described in the Old Testament. It was not church age information. Number four, the mystery, mysterion concept of the church age was never revealed in the Old Testament. And the church is the fraternity with the ability to understand. I wish I could tell you how important it is for you and me to be able to see how fantastic it is that we're living right now. We're living in the age of grace. We're living in a time when God is allowing us, if we really want to see it, He's allowing us to see how wonderful this time is in which we are now living. The age of grace. I wish that I could tell you, and I'm trying to tell you, that the Scripture says that grace is continually pursuing us. Grace is continually pursuing us. And many times believers are not willing to advance and listen to what God is saying about grace pursuing us. And they're saying no, in essence. No, no, no. And God is pursuing. Grace is pursuing us. Are we going to allow ourselves to be the recipients of that pursuit? The mystery concept of the church age was never revealed in the Old Testament. And the church age now is the fraternity with the ability to comprehend. Romans 16:25, Romans 16:26, and the passage which I've just read to you, Colossians 1:27, but also 26. Got to hasten. Number five. Jesus was the first person to reveal church age information in the age of Israel. Are you getting that? Jesus Christ was the first person to reveal church age information in the age of Israel. Jesus, the prophet, presented this concept which had not been presented in the Old Testament. Union with Christ, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of Christ, not found in the Old Testament. Oh, if you and I could just see this, what has been made available to us now, and we look upon this with such indifference, how sad it is. Union with Christ, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of Christ, not found in the Old Testament. Number six, the church began with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This had not happened in all history before. Jesus announced to his disciples just a few days before the church age when he said, I in you and you in me. There's where we are right now. We've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and believe it or not, He indwells us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, regeneration, brings the indwelling of Christ, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we are changed, transformed individuals. The epistles are the biblical concepts of mysteries. Do I need to say it again? The Pauline epistles, the epistles are the biblical concepts of understanding mysterion. Almost through. Listen. Number seven. A person with the gift of the ministry is responsible for communicating church age concepts to his flock. The reason why I'm doing this is because I found it. My responsibility. You can read it for yourself. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. I would do you an injustice. I would do you an infavor if I didn't take the time to present what I'm presenting to you today. Number eight, the rapture does not belong to the age of Israel. Therefore, the rapture is not found in the book of Matthew. Many of you read this, two in the fields, one taken, one left. And that's age of Israel information, not church age information, but people try to force it on to the church age. Two in the fields, one taken, one left, refers to the second advent. At the second advent, the unbeliever, under the baptism of fire, will be cast off the earth and into the fire. Number nine, the mystery concept is always related to the dispensation of the church. Number ten, our understanding of this subject is gained by utilization of the system which our Lord has provided for us, which you and I call perception. The grace system of comprehension, the grace system of learning. Here we emphasize the difference between human IQ and spiritual IQ. One of our ladies came in the office today to say, "Would you pray for me? I'm to have surgery on Thursday." What I want you to be able to see, the reason I'm saying this, is because we desire to look upon things from a vertical, divine viewpoint. And I told her, don't punch any panic buttons. Just depend on God to give you courage and strength and take you through this. I'm happy that I can tell you in closing today that we have this magnificent book that presents to us the beauty of the time in which you and I now live, the age of grace. Please don't neglect. Please don't put up a stop sign as grace is pursuing you. Don't stop. Don't stop. Please don't stop. Continue to advance and grow in God's grace. I say that to believers. To the unbelievers, I say to you, your greatest need is to accept this gift of grace, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. May we pray together, please. The last moment of this service is for you if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. You can do it now. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. How fantastic. One moment of time just for you as you ask the Lord to be your Savior. You can do that right now. Thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.